placed us here. This is his world, and he invites us to live in abundance and live in a right relationship with him. And so Proverbs, this amazing book by Solomon, is wisdom, simply put, wisdom on how we can live in God's world. Now, in Proverbs, wisdom, as we have talked about over the last few weeks, the idea of wisdom is personified. What that means is that it is personified as a woman. Proverbs is referred to as she, beginning in the very first chapter. Now, this was a literary technique that was used in the ancient world that was used to really draw emphasis, to help the audience to really understand in a very significant way just how important the point is that the author was attempting to get. And so in Proverbs, wisdom is giving this personification as she. And so there's all kinds of references to this. It's not goddess worship. It's not anything weird. It's simply a literary technique. It is like the author is saying, I'm making this bold face. I'm italicizing it. I am underlining it. I am highlighting it. He's saying this, and what we're talking about is so important that I'm literally going to give this word life. And so the life that our author gives wisdom is she. So wisdom is personified as a woman. And again, we see this in the very beginning. We see it also, for instance, in chapter 3, verse 18, that wisdom, our author writes, is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Again, what we're going to see is there are benefits to being wise. There are benefits to being smart. Because as I will propose to you, most of the angst and anxiety and the problems that we experience in our life are caused by ours and others' disobedience. And so God wants to lay it out for us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, how we should live and how we shouldn't live. So wisdom, he says, is a tree of life to all who embrace her. In Proverbs 8:1, we see this idea of listening over and over and over again. In every chapter, we hear the author say, now listen. It's like our author is the perfect parent, right? Who, how often with our kids do we say, now listen. Listen, I have really important stuff to tell you. Now listen, pay attention. Our author says, as wisdom calls out, hear as understanding raises her voice. Now, in Proverbs, wisdom is personified, but in the New Testament, wisdom is actually identified. Wisdom is identified, and we see that most clearly in John's gospel. We read these words, in the beginning, the word, the Greek word that's used here is logos, meaning wisdom. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. It helps if I have my pages in the right order. Did I lose? There it is. God created, sorry about that, everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So John tells us that wisdom has now been identified. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So wisdom's name in the New Testament is Jesus. Wisdom's name is Jesus. And so in the Old Testament, wisdom is personified, but in the New Testament, wisdom is identified as Jesus. And we see from all through the scriptures of the kind of people that God wants us to be. So this week, I invited you to read chapters 7 and 8. And as I mentioned last week, if you were either watching online or if you were here with us, chapter 7 picked up a lot of the major themes that we saw in chapter 5 and chapter 6. The idea of guarding your heart. And we see in chapter 7 the idea of guarding your eyes, because what gets our attention or what gets our heart, as I've said, gets us. So we have to be very attentive and attuned to that. We see in chapter 7 this whole idea of obedience to God, of doing what God says. We see in chapters 5, 6, and 7 the idea of just how painful and how difficult sexual immorality and the allure of temptation really is. And so before I kind of unpack with you what I want to share this morning, I thought that I would share with you, as I have each week, some of the insights that your fellow Faith Pointers have had as they have been reading chapters through Proverbs, and this week as they read chapters 7 and 8. This one says, "Reading Proverbs over the last weeks has brought to mind how inadequate our word for love has become. These first chapters of Proverbs are emphasizing our sexuality and using the word love. However, the original writers knew the correct word for sexual love. Our young folks need to know we don't make love under God's guidelines of purity and singleness and fidelity in marriage. We enjoy the gift of sexuality within the bounds and boundaries of Christian marriage. May we not mistake our sexuality for agape, which is unconditional love, and let our sexuality become unconditional." I like that. This one says, "I read Proverbs 8 and then for some reason jumped to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. After reading both these verses, it made clear that wisdom in and of itself is not what we should strive for," meaning worldly wisdom is not what we want, which is what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Worldly wisdom is of man. We need godly wisdom, wisdom from God that gives us eyes to see and ears to hear and the ability to discern good from bad. And then this person shared with me an amazing story of how she has been studying this and praying through this and how this is affecting some experiences in her life, which is pretty incredible. This other one, "Having wisdom is storing up God's commands and obeying them. Let the wisdom guide your decisions and keep you from seductive temptations." I like that. "After reading chapter 8, this occurred to me. Shouldn't wisdom be just as attractive and seductive as sin?" Wow, play with that one a little bit, right? Like doing what God wants you to do, shouldn't that just be as alluring as not doing what God says not to do? I like that. And then this one, "My mouth speaks what is true." This is from Proverbs 8:7. "My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse." And this person wrote, "This week, these verses spoke to me as I aspire to emulate them. I live my life hoping I righteously and with confidence adhere to them. I am ashamed when I fail to do so." I love this, the fact that we are attempting, again, not the interpretation piece, but the application piece of making God's word real in our lives and seeing what happens in our lives, kind of what the spillover is as we live in that obedient relationship with God. And that's really what I want to talk about today, because chapter 8 for me and parts of chapter 7 were pretty significant. In that what I discovered in these two chapters is what I would simply label today as four things that I think Proverbs reveals about what God wants for his people. That's what he wants for you and me. I think there are at least four things that God really, really, can you say really? He really wants for us as his people. Because he wants the absolute best for us. He wants us to experience abundant life, full life, exciting life. God just wants the absolute best for us. And the beautiful thing is he has given us his word, the Bible, and he's given us his son. He's given us the Holy Spirit to convict us and to lead us and guide us and teach us so that we don't have to guess. That if we just simply begin to put God's words and commands into practice in our lives, then we will begin to experience the true life, the abundant life, the good life, the great life that God really wants for us. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to lift up, as I said, I think four things that I think God really wants us to do. Can you say the word do? He really wants us to do with his word, the Bible, and with his commands of what we're supposed to live, the statutes, the ordinances, all those kinds of things. I think the very first thing that God wants his people to do is to internalize his words and commands. He wants his word, his commands, to be more than words on a page or simply good advice. Many critics say, well, yeah, the Bible's a good book because it gives you good advice on how to lead a good life and all that kind of stuff. It's way more than that. God wants us to internalize it, that it's more than just words on a page, because to internalize means to make something a part of what you think, feel, or act. Let me say that again. To internalize means that you actually make it, make something a part of how you think, how you feel, or how you act. He wants us to really take his word in, to own his words, to incorporate them into our character, to embrace them, to make them a part of who we are. So our author says things like this in Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. Follow my advice, my sons. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your finger as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Do you remember, like, you've seen the picture, right? You tie a string around your finger to remember something. That's biblical. Like we should take God's word, his commands, and literally tie them to us so that we will remember them, so that we will do them, so that we will treasure them. And it talks about treasure or guard them. Again, it's like take them deep inside of us, deep inside. Let the roots go really, really deep so they're a part of who we are. Did you notice the words like always? Always do this. Words like treasure, obey, guard, strong words. Our author says, tie them around your finger as a reminder. He says in Proverbs 8, 6 through 9, listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. Now let's stop there for a second, because that's what we believe about Scripture. Everything that God has inspired the writers to write in this book is right. It is appropriate. It is good for us. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. Other words that translations use are pure or righteous. There is nothing devious or cracked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding. Again, as I said, right? It's not an interpretation issue for us. It's an application issue, right? He said, my words are so plain. You can get this. Clear to those with knowledge. So one of the things I've said throughout this series is that interpretation is not our challenge. Our greatest challenge as the people of God is application. Doing what God's word and his commands say. What I believe we as the people of God struggle with the most is truly internalizing God's words and commands. Truly internalizing it. Doing what God says to do and not doing what God says not to do. Because that's what we do. Do you get that? We do what God says to do and not do what God says not to do, because that's what we do as the people of God. So what does God want his people to do with his words and commands? First of all, he wants us to internalize them. He wants us to own them. I think a second thing that God wants his people to do with his words and commands is to prioritize them. So we are to prioritize him. We internalize them and we prioritize his words and commands. Again, I am convinced that God wants his people to intentionally choose to make his words and his commands a priority above all else, above what culture says, above what our friends might say, above what our peers might say, above what our colleagues might say, even what above what our families might say, above what our feelings or emotions might say, especially if those are the antithesis of what God says to do and not to do. God's word, his commands, should take priority in our lives. Above anything else, as the people of God, we should say, I'm choosing to obey God's words and his commands because that's what I do. I was at the store this last week, and I had a cart, got several things, and when I got out to my car and I'm putting all my bags in the car, I realized I had bought a spatula and it was still sitting in the cart. So I had a dilemma, right? It's a spatula. It's $6, right? And I'm like, I didn't even think twice about it. I got it out of my cart and I walked back into the store. And there are the greeters at the door who weren't really greeting. They were having more fun with one another than they were greeting us. Yes, you can pick the store. And I said, hey, I got to my car. I realized this is my car. I forgot to pay for it. And one of the employees goes, oh, just keep it. I'm like, what? I said, no, I can't do that. And the other one standing next to me goes, what are you, like an honest man or something? Like, well, as a matter of fact, I am. And I said, I just want to let you know, like, I'm bringing this in, so do I just take it to a register? Because I still want it. So do I need to take it? Well, if you want. Like, okay. So I went to a register. I told the person ringing me up, who was very pleasant, I said, you wouldn't believe this, but I got out to my car, and this was in my cart. I forgot to pay for it, and I brought it in because I needed to pay for it because there's no way that I could, you know, get away with not paying for this because that's just not what I do. But interesting thing is your employee at the door said, just keep it. And she was like, what? I'm like, I know. And when I'm walking out, there was another guy standing right there, and he looked over at me and said, I would have had to done that too because it would have bugged me all day. In other words, do we prioritize doing the right thing because it's just what we do? I am by no means perfect. But there are just certain things that we just do because it's the right thing to do. That I prioritize doing what God's word says above everything else. Because the employee said, just keep it. I could have listened to that, right? And like, sweet, score, $6 spatula. You know, it's not like I have like a phone in my cart or something, right? But you know what? The value didn't make a difference. Because I would have done it with anything because I just prioritized that. It's just a part of who I am. It's wired into me. And so our author says things like in Proverbs 7:4, love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Again, this idea of making it so a part, of making it such a priority, or Proverbs 7:24. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Again, one of the things I am really enjoying about this series is the number of us who are choosing to do the reading assignments each week and then interacting with them. And I want to continue to invite you to do that because the more we do that, the more we internalize it, and the more we internalize it, the more we prioritize it because if anything, we'll get the conviction smacked upside the head of us when we don't do what God says to do or when we do what he says not to do, right? We'll just get that. You don't do that. Well, there's a third thing that I believe that God wants his people to do regarding his word and his command, and it's to exercise his words and commands. Internalizing God's words and commands is great. Prioritizing God's words and commands is awesome. But these are only two pieces to the puzzle. And quite honestly, they're insufficient if we don't actually exercise or put them into practice into our lives. You see, we've got to put into practice God's word and his commands. We internalize it, we prioritize it, and we exercise it. That means we just do it. Look what it says in Proverbs 8, 10 through 11. Choose my instruction, our author writes, rather than silver. Knowledge rather than pure gold. And get this one. For wisdom is far valuable than rubies. And then underscore, highlighted, italicizes, nothing you desire can compare with this. Our author wants us to get this, right? And I just wonder, what would our world look like? What would our communities look like? What would our families look like if we lived in such a way that nothing we desire would compare to exercising God's word and God's commands in our lives? Because you see, all the political savvy isn't going to solve these issues that we have in our world. It's only Jesus. And it's only Jesus at home in the hearts and lives of his people that will change our world. We've got to understand that this personified wisdom in the Old Testament is identified as Jesus in the New Testament. And that's when we submit our lives and our loves, our desires, and our directions to him, so that nothing compares. Nothing we desire can compare with him. Now, I propose to you that our world would be radically different if we would say, nothing we desire can compare with wisdom, who is now personified. Nothing. And I like how Philippians 4, 8 through 9 echoes the words of Proverbs. Check this out. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. By the way, with the ands in there, it's not like pick one. It's all of them. Equally. Choose these. Fix your thoughts on those things. Honorable, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Again, the echoed idea from Philippians is exercise this. Like, think about what is right and pure and admirable and good and true. Because how we think determines how we feel, that determines how we act. It all comes back to how we're thinking, how we choose to think. So what does God want us to do with his words and commands? He wants us to internalize them. He wants us to own them. He wants us to prioritize them. He wants us to choose to make his word and his command number one in our lives. He wants us to exercise his words and commands, to really put them into practice. And if we do all these things, we should have like a drum roll now, because here's the big ending. God really wants his people to realize his words and commands. Do you know what that means? He wants us to experience the blessings of being obedient to his words and commands. I've saved the best for last because I think this is spectacular. God wants us to realize that there are blessings in our lives that he has in store for us when we obey what he says and do what he commands. And the biggest blessings of all of this, our author calls joy. Joy. Look at what he writes in Proverbs 8, 32 through 36. And so, my children, listen to me. There we go again, right? Listen to me. For all who follow my ways are, say it with me, joyful. Joyful. When we follow his ways, God's ways, we're joyful. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't ignore it. Say it with me. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. Why joy? Of all the things that our Old Testament writer could pick in the book of Proverbs that is about wisdom, about practically choosing to do and to obey God's word, why would our author pick the word joy? Because joy is a disposition of the heart. It's not just a happy feeling. It's an inward disposition of our hearts. Because our disobedience and the disobedience of others, I propose to you, is what causes the pain in our lives. The opposite of joy is pain. And we bring so much pain. Do we realize how much pain we bring on ourselves because we choose to not do what God says to do by obeying his words and his commands? When we do what God says to do and don't do what God says not to do, we are blessed by not experiencing all the negative consequences of sin. So I wonder right now, like right now, here or if you're watching, right now, how many of us are experiencing a lack of joy in our lives simply because we are living in disobedience to God's word and God's commands? Really? Like, how much are we missing out simply because we are disobeying God's word? And I'm not saying with just conditional sin. Conditional sin is the idea that for all sin, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, right? That's our condition. I'm talking about the volitional sin, the God's word says to do or not to do, and we do it anyways. How much joy are we robbing ourselves of? How many blessings are we missing out on simply because we're living in disobedience to God's words and God's commands? How many of us are in this place where we rationalize and excuse and say, well, it's not that bad. Or it's not as bad as, or we might rationalize it with what we feel about it, or we might rationalize it with what culture or what our friends say is about it. Well, this is okay, or I'll just go ahead. If it feels good, you deserve that. Like, what voice are we listening to the loudest? Is it the voice of God speaking to us in his word? Or is it another voice? If you've been around here any length of time at all, you've often heard me say, when the voice of God is speaking, there's always a dissenting voice. And you might even right now be hearing that dissenting voice being like, yeah, but George, what I'm doing is not that bad. It doesn't make any difference. We miss out on joy. We miss out on blessings from God when we live in disobedience to God. And get this, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So we've got to figure out, we've got to realize that there are benefits for us when we live in obedience to God's words and his commands. So much so that as we're told in Colossians 1, 19 and 20, for God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ to do something, that through him, God reconciled everything to himself In other words, through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we find forgiveness for our sin. We find new life, so sin doesn't have a hold on us any longer. We discover that when we turn our lives over to Christ, it's not just the power of sin or the presence of sin or the penalty of sin. It's not just one of those that we get. We get it all. That when we invite Jesus to be Lord and Savior, leader and forgiver in our lives, that he comes and he takes up residence so that the disobedient things that we have been doing before are just not that attractive. The voices that we have been listening to, they get weaker. When we begin to internalize and prioritize and emphasize and realize God's words and his commands in our lives, y'all, it is good. It is so good. It doesn't mean that we don't experience any difficulty or problems anymore. The Bible is clear, right? It says, in this world, you are going to have problems. But how many problems could we actually eradicate in our lives if we would simply place ourselves under the authority of God's word and his son? I propose to you that your life and my life and everybody else's life would be radically different. Radically. Our world would be radically different. So whose voice are you listening to today? Whose voice is loudest in your head? Is it the voice of God? See, we hear the voice of God as we read God's word. We hear the voice of God when we worship our God. We hear the voice of God when we pray to our God. We hear the voice of God when we are with the people of God. We hear the voice of God when we serve in the name of our God. We hear the voice of God when we give to the ministries of God. All those things help us to drown out those other voices so that we really can hear the voice of God, so that we can reach a point where we say, not my will, but thy will be done. So, what do you want? Do you want to internalize God's words and commands in your life? Do you want to prioritize God's word and commands in your life? Do you want to exercise God's words and commands in your life? And do you want to realize God's words and commands? If so, here's all you got to do is say yes. To say yes to Jesus. It actually is that simple. It begins by allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life. It begins with saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will listen to you. I will obey you. I will live for you. And then it is nurtured. It is nurtured. A relationship with Jesus is never a one time and it's done. As one of my professors said in seminary, we are not eternally secure until we're securely in eternity. It's a never just say yes and you're done, but it is a constantly and consistently choosing to hear the voice of God above every other voice, making God's word a priority in our lives, listening, obeying his words and his commands, because God knows what's best. After many years as a pastor, I can tell you this. The choices we're making right now are going to do one of two things. They are going to either direct us towards Jesus or they're going to direct us away from him. The choices that we're making right now in our lives, every choice, believe it or not, every choice in our life right now is going to affect our direction and our destination. So where are you headed? See, God promises us. He promises us eternal life, abundant life, new life. And it's not just when we close our eyes on this existence and open them on the next. That when we seek to live as the people of God, under the authority of God, internalizing, prioritizing, exercising, and realizing His word and His commands in our lives is when we begin to experience the joy and the abundance that He has in store for you. And my guess is we would all say, I want that. Sign me up. So before we pray, I want to give you your assignment for next week. So this week, I want to invite you to read Proverbs 9. Now, a shift is going to happen in Proverbs. From 9 through the end of Proverbs, what you're going to discover is a lot of what we'd simply refer to as short, pithy sayings. In other words, you're going to read these things. They're going to be like little zingers in your life. And it might not be the whole chapter that's going to speak to you. It could be one simple verse. And I'm going to pick one or two or just a couple of these verses to kind of break down a little bit more next week. But as you read Proverbs 9 through 31, these are going to be like the arrows that are going to hit us like where it hurts. Because they're going to speak to us in super powerful ways. And they are so simple. Now, you won't understand all of them. Again, remember that this is written in an agricultural world. It's a little bit different. But really, they're so simple that these are going to be just these little nuggets of truth of how to live as the people of God, placing ourselves under the authority of God, following the Son of God. So read Proverbs 9, and then I would love it if you would email me and just share with me in a few words where or what in this chapter spoke to you. I love getting that, but you know what I love more is the idea that you're really reading this and you're allowing God's word, His voice, to speak to you. There are a lot of people today that say, well, God doesn't talk to us anymore like He talked in the old days. Actually, God's word speaks louder than any of those people did. That God has made it for us so that He has inspired these writers to write 66 books for us that contain everything that we need to know about who God is, who we are, and the kind of people God wants us to be. It's kind of that simple. So we got to hear the voice of God by placing ourselves in positions so that we can truly hear the voice of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there might be some folks in this room or listening online today who are ready to say yes to You, who have reached a point in their lives, maybe it's despair, maybe it's just a sense of uneasiness, maybe even it's guilt. God, I don't know what it is, but I believe that You speak convincingly and convictingly through Your word. And Lord, as we read Proverbs, we discover a lot of convincing, convicting words because, Lord, truth be told, we all have so far to go to allow You to truly be the Lord of our lives, where we would truly internalize and prioritize and emphasize and realize all the blessings that come from submitting our lives fully and completely to You. And so, Lord, I believe that there are some people right now, right here today, who simply want to say yes to You, that they want to begin that journey, where they want to begin that walk, where they might discover the abundant life that You have for them. And so, Lord, if there are those people here today, Lord, I pray that You would make Yourself known in such a huge and significant way in their lives. Lord, that You would give them the confidence, that You would give them the excitement, the peace, the knowledge that You are with them. That if they simply say, yes, Lord, I give my life to You, would You come and make Your home in me? Forgive me of my sin. Lead me in righteousness. Allow Your Son to lead me and guide me all the days of my life. And Lord, I believe that there might be some of us here today who have been simply walking in disobedience to You. And so, Lord, I pray that You would give us the power that your Holy Spirit, who has residence in us, Lord, that we would take down every wall, everything that hinders us from truly hearing his voice, so that we might fully and more completely surrender our lives to you, that we would live in this right relationship with you, so that we might discover the abundance through you. So, Lord, we need a renewed sense of your power and your presence in our lives, so that we might be empowered to live as your people, guided by your Son through your word and through your commands. So, Lord, would you just simply come for all of us, lead us and guide us, direct us, help us to experience the new life that your word promises for us today and all the days of our lives into eternity, that we might truly find joy. Lord, you promise us that. We want to embrace that and experience that. So would you come, Lord, and do that which your word says that you do. Make us new, we pray, and we will give you thanks, God. You never give up on us. You never, ever, ever give up, because it's never a good day to give up. And you never give up on us. So, Lord, help us to say yes to you this day and all the days of our lives. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Will you all stand with